Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. This is episode number 62. Very exciting episode. This is our second guest from out of the country. Those of you who may remember, Robin is my friend from across the pond, also a listener. This one is even more interesting, in my opinion. This is Greg Betancourt, who is a friend, or not a friend. You are married to a friend of mine from, like, junior high. I've known – that's how long I've known your wife, right? Seventh grade?
Yes, high school.
High school. And I was junior high, too, because she used to be buddies with actually my first love. Not used to be as in either one of them died or they don't talk to each other anymore. But it's in the way that kids were friendly or whatever. My first love, Tether, was a hearing-impaired girl that I was smitten with in junior high. A funny quick story about that before we get into Greg – is that as many a young man can probably remember, if you were into the ladies in your junior high years, in all ways, girls develop faster than boys. And so she was a more developed, looked more like a woman than I ever did a man. And
yes.
So I was holding hands with her. We took the bus back to her house to hang out. And this lady said to her, she goes, "It's so sweet that you hold hands with your little brother." Oh, my poor 13-year-old ego could not handle the sting. could not recover fast enough. I must have been just so beat red. Yeah, with just rage and anger. But anyway, so now you are married to the lovely Carrie. How many children do you have? You guys have borderline a litter, and I don't know if that's offensive to say, but that's
we
how
do.
You
how many we have so many we had to buy a different vehicle. We have four. I have four right now.
Four right now. And is there plans to continue, or are you tapping out?
No.
No?
No, that's a big negative. The game has ended, my friend. It has ended.
Oh, gosh. I love that. No. I didn't even get the, sense out. Negative. So the reason you actually contacted me, you obviously have said you listened to the show. But what the listeners don't know is that you are currently in Germany. Am I right?
Yes.
So Greg is in the Air Force. Yes.
Yes.
And you have traveled all over. Your kids will grow up and be able to say that. Do you still say Army brat, even though you're in the Air Force, or does the Air Force have their own term when their kids move around?
I think the general term is just military brat.
Military brat. So they just kick out the Army part. And what branch of the military do you hate when you're in the Air Force?
Well, I really don't.
You may be a bad example to ask this question. You're not a hateful person. But I'm saying I always find it interesting that there is inner fighting amongst the branches of our military where somebody's calling somebody else a pansy or they don't really do this or...
Yes, well, the Army, you have to repeat yourself a few times before it sinks in.
Okay, here it comes. And, here it comes.
With the Marines, you have to kind of spell things out.
Okay.
In order, the conversation has to have steps. You know, one thing. As long as they know where they're at.
Yeah.
You know, they don't look confused most of the time. Just speak slowly and you'll be all right.
Okay. I like that you start off going, "I don't have anything." And then you got anything for the Navy? Or are you gonna let them slide on this one?
That's a different podcast, I think.
Okay, that's a whole other episode. All right.
Yeah, I better not go into that.
Oh, and I do like it. I like that it's like, it feels, I don't know, maybe this is me as a guy who was in theater in high school, but it feels tongue-in-cheek. Like, it feels like you guys would still buy each other a beer, but you have to rib each other the way guys who play a pickup basketball game will call each other pansies.
Exactly. They make fun of us. They call us the chair force because
you guys,
chair force, oh yeah.
Yeah, you sit down.
We sit down at computers and we defend the country from a chair.
So that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the Air Force is deemed to be the brains of the operation by the stereotypical nature of your jabs in the other way.
Yes.
All right. Well, then let's get into how old are your children?
My daughter Stacy, she's 10.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter, my son Ryan is 9. And my other son Andrew is 5. And we just had little Ashley. She just turned 7 months.
Man.
Months old.
And here's the thing. A lot of
basketball team. One more.
One more, and you're in. You just need a point guard, and you're all over it.
Yes.
Here's the thing. It breaks me to think about the having that much that many years. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like your wife and you have not gone more than a few months without changing a diaper. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. Yes. Let me tell you, I'll be real honest here. When we moved here, we in the winter of 2011, we had discussions about, okay, we're finished. We're finished with that phase of our lives. You know, the small child phase. Andrew had just gotten out of diapers. Yes, that was a huge victory. And so we were ready to move on. And then unexpected, we're going backwards and we're starting over again. So we were out of diapers for just a few months and then right back into it.
Right into it. Just when you thought you were out, they pull you back in.
Good times.
So is that, are you just in a constant state of exhaustion? Because I run into people on the road that laugh at me, that listen to the show, and they laugh at the fact that I am so flabbergasted with two children. And they're like, I have 5. And you haven't heard this yet, but last week, I think it was, or a couple weeks ago, I spoke of a father who braggingly said he had 17 children. Yeah, exactly. And so I was just like, at what point, like, how much... obviously, this isn't you, I'm saying, but I'm just saying, like, to me, it's unfathomable. Like, I can't even understand. I could barely keep up with 2. How do you wrestle 4?
I'll tell you what. It is a logistical battle. But I am very lucky. Carrie, she is very good with logistics and planning. I think to make life easy with this... these many children, you really have to have a plan every single day, or else you're just not going to make it.
I like that you already have a military approach to what you're like. There's talks of these are your children, and there's logistics and planning. Otherwise, you lose the war.
Yes, exactly. Oh my goodness.
So you are constantly in a frontline skirmish with your offspring, is what you're saying.
Yes. The clock. The clock is our enemy.
And let's talk about what kind of shock and awe tactics do you guys have? Is that just when Carrie loses her mind and her temper comes out and she just hulks out and starts screaming? Is that when the shock and awe happens?
Yes, exactly. She does hulk out quite a bit. I have found myself kind of losing it lately, I guess, as the kids get older. But yes, we are on the same page. And I think you have to be when you have this many kids. You have to be on the same page with almost everything, or there's going to be battles here and there that spark up. And if you're not on the same page, it gets pretty bad. Stacy, our oldest, she's just now getting into the, she's only 10, but, her emotions, I mean, at 10, I was not prepared. She really has like the preteen emotional swings. And, I mean, I was just not prepared. Her outbursts, you know, you told me to clean my room. That means you hate me. And you know,
Now, is this because she's a girl? Because this is a world I am unfamiliar with.
Yes, I believe the female species. something is wrong. And it starts so early, you know.
Greg, I have a feeling you're going to get in a lot of trouble.
Yes. We can edit that part out in post. We'll be
Yeah, we'll be totally fine. You may want to tell your wife that something happened with the Skype connection, and we can't. I do think that all of our mom listeners appreciate being referred to as the female species. I am a big fan. I like everywhere you're going. I wanna get a backpack and join you on this journey of the irrational female brain from the male perspective. That is the crux of this show, in my opinion.
Yes. And yes, then definitely.
How dads wrestle with it when they have daughters. Like, it's to me, it's a separate thing. This is going to get borderline creepy, I think, about what I'm about to say. But it's a separate thing when it is your wife. When you are dealing with the irrational mind of your wife, because there is an intimate aspect to your relationship that you have to keep intact in order, you know, for you to maintain. There is none of that with your daughter, obviously. So it's like you just, there is only pure love that you have to wrestle with. And I find it very challenging from a male perspective to look at that and go, what are you doing? Like, why? And you add on to that in your wife's relationship, although many of us may feel like we are in charge, we also know that there's a lot that we are not in charge of. But in a daughter-to-father relationship, you are supposed to be in charge, and yet there still seems to be this theme that I hear from dads who have daughters of that you are led to believe that you are in control.
And yet you are not. My daughter, she regularly performs mental karate, I think, on me, where I just turn around and say, okay, you win.
You just say uncle and
I've lost. I have no idea what just happened.
That is awesome. That is incredible. All right, I know you said that you had some stories and stuff too, but what I really want to talk about first off is you were first stationed in Japan. Is that the first, like, overseas move you made?
My first duty station was Dover, Delaware.
Right. And so you guys were based in California and then went from California to Dover. And did you have children at that point?
We had Stacy. She was born in Modesto.
Okay.
We moved to Delaware in the summer of 2004. Mm-hmm. And where we had Ryan, and 2007, the fall of 2007, we moved to Okinawa, Japan, which is a small island, about a two-hour plane ride south of the mainland.
Okay. Just so anybody, because I know we have military listeners, but for anybody who is not familiar with the lifestyle, how does that go about? Is it because from the outside looking in, it looks like you could just get an email one day and say, hey, guess what? In 6 months, you're going to go to Okinawa, Japan. Is it really like that, or?
It can be. I think maybe in the old days, maybe it used to be that sudden, but now I think things are planned out a little bit more nowadays. You do get a fairly lengthy notice, almost a year.
Okay. But it is a situation where it's not like, I guess what I'm trying to ask is it like, hey guys, we have this opening in Okinawa, Japan. Anybody want it? Or is it just is it more streamlined say a year from now you're going to go?
Yes. Here's how it works, real quick. When you are at a base for a certain amount of time, I think it's over 2 years or so, it could have changed by now, but they call it a dream sheet. And you update your dream sheet with bases all over the world that you would like to go to in order from 1 to 10 in the United States and overseas. So you have two lists. And then when your time comes, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, you put in for orders and they process that. And then it's just – it's random. It's a random what are they going to give me? What are we going to get? Are we going to get my number one choice, my number two choice, my number three choice? And then they send you an email saying you've been selected for such and such an assignment. And it's usually about 8 or 9 months out. And that's it. That's pretty much how it works.
And then do they cover costs of obviously relocating you? Or, like, here's what I'm curious about. Do they load all your stuff into one of those humongous bombers that carry Abram tanks? And you and your family ride in those cargo planes like you're Iron Man? Is that how it works?
I wish. That would be very exciting.
Right? Wouldn't that be cool? Like, kids running around. Hey, get off the baggage. Get down.
They do. They pay for your flight. They pay to store your household goods. And they pay to ship them. They all come over here by boat. Mm. Everything comes over here by boat. Your vehicles, your household goods. And then they arrive. You usually arrive about a month before your vehicle and before all your stuff gets there.
Okay. So what's that like then when you make the move with two kids to Okinawa, Japan? Was that on your dream list? I guess that's the first question I should ask.
Yes, it was. Germany was first, and Okinawa, Japan was second.
And why those countries?
We've always wanted to go to Europe. Uh-huh. I think it's kind of a dream, I guess, to go there one day. And Japan, Okinawa specifically, because it's a tropical island in the middle of the Pacific, so that was appealing. Mm-hmm. To both of us. So we consider ourselves very lucky that we were able to go there.
And do they have shrines to Mr. Miyagi there? Did you learn the drum punch? Did you do any of that stuff?
I think that was actually filmed in like Orange County or something.
Oh, boo.
I just ruined it for people that haven't seen it.
So, okay, so it was on your list. You go to this tropical island. Was it everything you thought it was going to be? Like, how was the move?
The move itself was pretty good. I don't remember too many hardships. It's just kind of an in-transit hotel kind of, we don't have our stuff yet life, and we don't have a vehicle, and so you're kind of in transit for a few weeks. But with the two kids, it was, I do remember it now being pretty tough in the hotel before you, because you spend your time in a hotel while you're looking for a home. Mm-hmm. And with two small kids, they got cabin fever.
Yeah.
They were ready to get out.
I could only imagine. And
yeah.
So even when I was talking to Natalie about this, my wife, I was under the impression that when you go to a base, that it is almost like its own private community. So are there in a sense like people that work for the Air Force that are teachers that work at an American school that happens to be located in Okinawa, Japan? Or are you sending your kids through whatever form of private or public education that the local country has to offer?
Yes, it is. It is its own community, Justin. It's like a little American bubble has followed you overseas, and you are in this bubble inside of the country that you're in, is a good way to describe it. You have American teachers teaching at American schools on the base. You have commissary, which that's what we call the grocery store that sells American food. You really could stay on base the entire 4 years and have everything you would ever want or need.
Like a movie theater? You even have like a,
yes,
a movie theater, a Starbucks, a McDonald's.
Yes, Dunkin' Donuts, Burger King.
Wow. How large is the base? Is it like the size of a city or?
Some of them are. Kadena actually was one of the largest, if not the largest, by land area overseas bases in the world.
Where is Kadena? Where is that?
On Okinawa.
Oh, that was the base you were at.
Yes, that's okay. The name of the base. On it was huge, just enormous.
So you got to live, in a sense, in the suburbs of an American culture on a tropical location, where instead of, like, when we grew up in Modesto, we could drive up to San Francisco to go to the beach or whatever. If you drove that same distance, you would now be immersed in a Japanese culture and on a vacation that essentially would take you a plane trip around the world.
Yes, exactly.
And did you guys, anybody know Japanese, or did you learn it? Did the kids pick it up at all? Or
they did. Let me tell you what, kids, this, when we got there, they were so young. Oh, gosh, JC was 4. Ryan was 3, maybe. Maybe even 2, but they are just like sponges, and they soaked the language up. they learned so much. Stacy and Ryan actually went to an off-base local Japanese preschool that other Americans went to, but it was a Japanese school, and they would come home saying sentences in Japanese and singing songs in Japanese, and I'm just like, oh, that sounds really good. I don't understand what you're saying, but it was great. It was a good experience. I think it was a great experience for them. They kids that age, they are very, very smarter than I think we give them credit for. Because I had no clue. I could not learn a language that quickly.
Yeah. Well, that's I mean, I've now learned that that's when our language centers are fully developing, that the fact that we take a foreign language in high school is actually the worst time in our education career to take a language, that it's better if you could teach it from, like, kindergarten up to about fifth or sixth grade. Then they could just quickly take it in, and it stays with them. Like, it just becomes ingrained in their brains. But I don't know. That's interesting, because to hear my kids learning a foreign language, especially if they're siblings, like if he's an only kid, I can hang. But when you've got siblings, and in your case, a slowly growing basketball team, I feel like I don't want them to know anything that I don't. I feel like, to get back to your logistics, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the more that they learn their own language that is separate from what mom and dad can understand, that means that I'm going to have to get the NSA involved in this, and we're going to need a mole to infiltrate their infrastructure and maybe do a little sabotage and reconnaissance mission, if you would, so I know exactly what's going on and who is hiding Play-Doh where. These are things that we are on a need-to-know basis, and I need to know. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yes. All of a sudden, we have become inferior. They are speaking this other language that we have no idea. They are smarter than us.
Yeah. You know? Was there any kind of situation where they kind of started talking amongst themselves and you guys didn't know what they were saying?
No.
Okay,
no, I don't think it ever carried over into normal conversation that they could pick up. I think just the basic words and things like that. But I'm still skeptical. I think maybe on the side. They're still communicating somehow with Japan somehow.
You better be careful. That might get you in trouble with your bosses. It sounds like we have a new Alias-esque ABC drama coming to you this fall, where his daughters and children turn against him. He works for the Air Force. He must choose between his family and his country.
Went to Stacy's room, and there's letters carved into her wall, and she's got some made up wire tap.
Yeah. Lots of yarn connecting to unintelligible pictures, because while she may be intelligent, she still has the hand articulation of a young child. So it's not like the pictures and the diagrams are of a high quality. There's lots of finger painting turkeys that probably stand for the country of Turkey, and paper plates involved. All of a sudden that would be an even better show, where it's you connecting all of their art, you know, and you put it all together on your wall, and it makes the Japanese flag in some way, shape, or form.
Yes, like Homeland, when she stays up so late at night, she's going insane, and she puts everything on the wall.
Yep. So were your kids eating any kind of weird foods? Like, could you get them to eat fish eyeballs because they were living in Japan, or...
They actually took to the sushi pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
I had never eaten anything like sushi or anything like that before we moved. But they actually took to it pretty well, actually. As long as we stayed away from the little baby octopuses.
They were fine.
They were okay, because that was a little too creepy.
Yeah. And then my other question, which I think bleeds into all of this, is that because here's what I deal with on a much smaller scale than what you're dealing with, is that my parents and Natalie's parents are, you know, 300 miles away, about a 4 to 5 hour car trip. If you're my dad, it's about 3.5. If you're my in-laws, it's about 8 hours. It's the idea of being able to just take the kids over to grandma and grandpa so that you can decide, oh, we're going to go see a movie, or something's come up, or a kid gets sick and is staying home from school. I can lean on grandma and grandpa or auntie so-and-so to help me out is off the map for you guys. Is it that you just become a community within your own selves, like an extended family there, or how do you wrestle with that?
Yes, exactly. it is like an extended family. Your neighbors, you learn to rely on your neighbors. The members of your local church help you out. Everyone seems to be a little bit more tight-knit, like you said, like a community when you are overseas. Mm-hmm. Just for that fact that you don't have those people back home to rely on. So, you know, it's kind of an unspoken deal if the parents want to go sightseeing or on a little vacation a few hours away or overnight. You know, you rely on your neighbors to watch your kids. And generally, everyone is really, really on board with that. We haven't had any issues.
Well, and I'm sure you can't speak on this because I am almost positive that the Rices will eventually be tuning in. That being Carrie's maiden name is Rice, for those of you listening that don't know her. But if you are a gentleman or a lady who is not a humongous fan of your in-laws, the military might be a solid option for you to get away and go out on the run. Because that was my other question is that, I mean, obviously now with the advent of FaceTime and Skype, you know, you can have a computer relationship with grandma and grandpa.
Yes.
But it's a pretty heavy budget item. For them, they now, I know, have moved to England. They after all the kids had kind of grown up, they took a trip there and just said, you know, we're going to live here. Am I right on that?
They did. Yeah. Her dad actually was a civilian contractor on a base in northern England for years. They just left a year ago. They mm-hmm. actually moved back to Colorado.
Oh, really? Oh, so they're back in they're back stateside. Did they say why? Are they? Because here's the thing. Hearing that experience for them has honestly made me tell Nata that I go, when the kids grow up, I would like, as a bucket list-esque item, if we could build up enough, we want to do like rental properties to have enough money to sustain us, I would like to go live in Canada and England for a year. Like just go there, rent a place for a year and, you know, just go through to get to see the seasons and know the people and all that stuff, just to know what it's like to live in a different country. And it mostly has to do with the fact that they just went there and were like, hey, we're going to hang out here for a bit. What do we got to go back home to? And we could jump around. And did they fly into Japan a lot and visit you guys? Or is that too expensive? Is that hard to pull off?
They did. They actually both were able to come out while we were in Japan quite a bit. Once a year, I think, for the holidays.
Yeah.
They came out. And when Andrew was born, they came out, which was a huge help.
Right.
To have her mom there.
Were they able to do that where they would just stay for a month? Because I know that it's very popular, I've learned, in the Indian culture that there was a couple that lived in the building I used to manage, and they had a kid, and mom and dad just moved over from India and stayed for like 3 months. And then dad went home, and mom stayed for another 4 or 5 months, and then dad came back for a bit for a couple, and they just had live-in nannies that were their parents, and that they just completely relocated. Were they able to pull that off at all, or was it just like, oh, it's a week because we want to see there for the kid when he comes home and help out a little, but then we got to bolt?
They came, I think, for a month.
Wow.
At the most.
That's awesome.
They did. And then I said, you know, next time maybe 2 weeks. Two weeks might be enough to accomplish, you know, seeing the new child.
Yeah. You're a brave man, Greg Betancourt. Not only do you serve our country well, either that or you have an amazing relationship with your in-laws.
I love them. They're
good people who could take a joke and they get it. But it's funny is that the difference between you and I is that I hide under the guise of a podcast under the internet of which my in-laws do not know exist. It seems to be like a cult, much like Scientology to my in-laws. Whereas, like, you know that both of your in-laws are technologically aware and are probably going to see this on a Facebook post and go, oh, right, let's tune in. That'll be fun to hear. And the difference also, though, too, is that your in-laws will listen and go, ha, 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 oh, Greg, we love him dearly. Whereas I think if I said that to my in-laws and they heard it, it might ring a little too true. The only thing I would have to be able to hide behind is that they do not confront you. So there would be lots of conversations over the phone. Did you hear what Justin did? But they would completely ignore it for fear of talking about something may actually mean something would be repaired or move forward. They don't believe in that. But kudos to you. And I wish I had your in-laws. I'll end it there. I think that pretty much covers all my questions. Is there anything that you kind of pops into your brain that was like either a surprise or something that you found was interesting about? Because I think it is interesting, the idea of you raising children in another country.
Yes, it's a very unique situation. Let me tell you, our kids are so young. Stacy barely remembers Delaware, and Ryan and Andrew do not, absolutely at all, have no concept of living in the United States. Living overseas is all they know. They know the on-base world and the off-base world. They when we get in the car and drive, first thing is they say, are we going on base or off base, or where are we going? It is very unique. We went back home on leave 2011. We went to Disneyland, and they were just blown away at just the environment. It is drastically different. It's almost like being sheltered.
What do you mean by the how it's because they have, like, did you ever go to the Disneyland in Japan?
No, okay. That was on the mainland.
Okay.
We never did. But just like a shopping mall, you know, Dad, what's a mall? What's a shopping mall?
Uh-huh.
You know, what's a grocery store? You know,
because they know it as a commissary.
Different. Yes.
Okay.
It's just the language is different. What you call things, just the people speaking English around you when you're off base was eye-opening for my son. You know, he turned to me at one point, Daddy, they're speaking English.
Cute.
It's just, I guess you really don't realize what a bubble it can be.
So for them, though, because this is an interesting, to me, it makes your kids almost a control group, because especially living in Los Angeles, I feel that there can be a almost anti-American sentiment to the way our, like, people say, oh, it's so American to think everybody else should know English and, you know, that kind of stuff. I feel like your kids, not only because of that phrase of mouths of babes, but they also, because they grew up in another country, but also with an American influence, when they go to Disneyland, are they like, wow, this is so cool? Or is it like, wow, these guys are weird and self-centered? Or, you know, what, like, did they have any opinions on that?
No, everything was just cool. They were just excited to see Mickey and the Cars Land and... I think
how interesting too that what if that is their? I like the idea that they could possibly walk away from. Why do we not live here? Like America is the happiest place on earth, filled with churros and my favorite characters and amazing rides. Why?
Yes.
Why do you make us live in Germany, Father? Why do you hate us so?
We actually had that conversation when it started to snow and they hated it.
Oh, really? In Germany?
Why? Who made us move to Germany? Why do we live here? Why can't we go back to Disneyland? Why? It's so cold, Daddy. I have to walk to the bus stop. Why?
Well, also because a good chunk of their life. You moved. When did you move to Germany?
December of 2011.
11. So you've only been there a couple of years.
Yeah.
So they've grown up, in a sense, on Hawaii. And now,
yes.
now they have large, hairy women who like beer and snow.
We went from 70 degrees to 30 degrees.
Yeah.
In a matter of a week. And the sun doesn't come up in the winter till like 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow. So you moved in like the middle of the winter. That's right.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Yes, we had many speeches of what have you done to us?
Why have you done this? And it's interesting because hearing you, I think a lot of the parents that are listening to this are in some ways, I'm sure there are people that are listening like, that's insane. I could never do that. I love ranch dressing or whatever it is. I'm sure there's something that you don't have that we still, even though they have every, like it is a bubble. But then there's people, I think, also that are kind of like me, that it's like, what a cool experience that your kids will have, that they get to, you know, they've been in, they've seen different cultures, they've grown up in a different culture, and yet still were able to maintain their Americanness or whatever. I mean, I imagine that that is yours and Carrie's. Did you guys ever have opinion of that? Did you ever have any fears of taking your children out of the country at all?
No, I don't think we did. I think maybe because they were young, and we figured that because they're young, they'll adapt quickly, which surprisingly they have. Mm-hmm. I think I struggle with a lot from day to day is just due to the work, is just spending time, getting that time, quality time, you know, with them.
Because you have long work days and stuff?
Yes, the schedule can be very, very hectic and ever-changing. But as far as them adapting and fears, I think our fears are getting more as they get older, to kind of keep them, the want to keep them established somewhere at mm-hmm. some point in the States is, as they get older, is kind of on our minds.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right, because it does become different when right now, while there is a social aspect to their life, especially with your oldest being about 10, I imagine that the social aspect of friends and eventually, God forbid, boyfriends are going to come into your world but you know what I mean? Like when they start to become teenagers, then it does become a separate thing almost, I would imagine.
Yes, it is, because I think we've had this discussion a few times about wanting to get into a permanent place when they get middle school yeah. school and high school years, I think are very sensitive for children. And if we keep moving around the way we do as they get older, I think it'll get harder on them, and it might manifest itself in different ways. How they cope with it.
Yeah.
You mentioned the friends aspect of moving every 3 or 4 years. I think they're starting to realize that. And with our small village, that we live in a very small village, a half hour away from the base. There's only two other American families here, and they don't really have any other children to play with. You know, so they've voiced some concern about that. But also on the other side to that, I don't know if you have trouble with your two young boys getting them outside to play. What is wrong? When we were kids,
yeah,
we were outside constantly playing. Nobody had to tell us to go outside.
No. We would constantly be told to come inside, actually. That's
what. Yes. Oh, I don't know what's wrong.
It's time to come in. You must eat. Please come inside here and eat now.
Yeah.
Get your butt in here or I will kill you now.
Yes. I remember food was not a thought when we were young. We just stay and play. And I don't know what's wrong with these kids nowadays. They seem very content, though, when they stay inside all day on a weekend, and it's beautiful outside.
Are your kids big video gamers, or is it just movies, or what is it? What's their cup of tea indoors? Or they just play with their toys inside?
We do not even have television.
Wow. How are we not spending an hour talking about that? What are you doing to these children? I'm coming to Germany, and I'm saving them. They have never seen The Bachelor? What are you doing, Greg? What are you doing?
I'm keeping them down as long as I can.
How will they grow to be complete people without knowing who La La Loopsy is or the Umi Zumi guys? How will they know? Are these references that you don't even understand because you don't have TV?
Yeah, see, I've been gone so long, I don't even know what's current or hip.
See, and I don't make a strong argument. You can't yell at someone the words La La Loopsy and Umi Zumi and convince them that they've made a bad choice to not have TV in their house.
Look, we could have television. It would be satellite from England would be our television. But we use the PlayStation, you know, with the YouTube, and that's a huge lifesaver.
So you guys don't even do, like, Netflix streaming on there?
No, Germany does not allow Netflix.
What?
No, I know. I almost moved just based on that.
What? Is it like one of those things where like they control the media?
They do heavily here. Heavily.
Really?
They control. Let me tell you what. Germany's a great country. Great country. Good people so far. They are very, very controlling, and they are aggressive drivers, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, the Autobahn. Yeah, that's
the
insane. You can't get on the Autobahn with a minivan. You got to be loaded for bear, I would imagine.
They are. They're very aggressive drivers here. They drive very fast, which is, you know, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for an American that lives his life at 65 miles an hour to get on the road and just hit – you know, 110, 120, they're very aggressive drivers here, and the fines here for traffic violations are outrageous.
Really? Like but obviously not a speeding ticket. So what do you get?
Yes, speeding tickets.
How? I thought the whole idea of the Autobahn is that there is no speed limit. Am I wrong?
No. Yes, that's a myth.
Oh, okay.
There are sections that are wide open, but it is heavily speed limitized, if that's a word.
Yeah, nobody abides by it. Is that how the Autobahn gets its reputation?
Oh, they do. Oh, they do. They have cameras everywhere. I don't think I've seen a police car once, but there's cameras everywhere.
Wow.
So you will take a trip to Frankfurt, you know, an hour away, and get home, and then 3 months later you get a ticket in the mail. Oh, well, you were out 3 months ago. We caught you speeding, you know.
Wow.
They're very, very strict with that. But the Autobahn is exciting. It's had some experiences on that. It's funny because you can be cruising. They have very strict rules about which lane you have to be in. You can't cruise in the left lane. That's the fast lane. You have to stay all the way to the right. Have to.
Here, here. I agree.
And then sometimes I feel dangerous and I want to rebel, so I get in the left lane and I just cruise.
And then you get a letter in the mail.
And I feel like I'm rebelling because I'm not moving over, you know. And then you get a Ferrari on your rear end in about 10 seconds, and then you move over pretty quick.
Yeah.
At that point.
Now, are they does he just pull right up on your butt and start honking and flashing lights, or is it just sits there and politely waits for you to get out of his way?
Like, he was not there 10 seconds ago. There was nobody for 10 miles,
uh-huh.
And all of a sudden he's right on you with his lights flashing. So you tend to move pretty quick when there's a $200,000 car behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is it nothing but those? Like, that's the other reputation that I think the Autobahn has, is that it's just filled with sports cars. Here's what I think the reality of it is. I think it's a polar situation where there's nothing but $250,000 sports cars, and then also 1978 Mercedes, like, that are just one leg off the road, and, you know, like, they're just dying.
Yes.
And then you guys in your minivan in the middle. That's what I'm guessing.
Yes. You can spot the Americans with the Chryslers.
Oh, really? Right. Yeah, because they get shipped over.
Yes. The 10-passenger Chrysler, there goes an American.
How do you get car parts if your minivan breaks down? Is that on the base, or?
Yeah, they actually have dealerships here quite a bit. The area that we're in is real Americanized.
Uh-huh.
So they have – we actually go to the Chrysler dealership, and they take care of our car. But it's funny here. They have no pickups here, no trucks. Nobody owns a truck. They all drive around little trailers. So you see BMWs driving around with a trailer full of whatever they have.
One of the things, there's a comic, actually, that I know that his wife is in the Air Force, and his name is Bent Washburn. I don't know if you've come. He does comedy shows there for the base and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's actually made trips. She's stationed in Germany, and he makes trips out to the States, does a little tour, and then goes back. And he said he's also found, like, off of the base, like, German little bars that do American comedy shows where they want to see comics that speak English. And so he said he's been able to do shows out there. One of the things I thought was interesting that he said in the difference in lifestyle is that because there's not so much room geographically, that what they have is, like, the trash cans. Like, so for your household trash can, we would use, like, a 24-gallon bag. that what they actually have is half that or whatever, that's what you would put in like an office or in your bathroom is their entire trash can for their house. Is that true?
Yes.
Do you have to do that on the base and stuff, or?
Yes. If you live on base, you have to stick to the recycling rules, and off base, it's very, very strict as well. They have color-coded garbage cans, and inside your house, you have small garbage cans in your kitchen with color-coded bags, and plastic goes in here, and paper goes in here, and you know, when we Japan was the same way, and we always start out with good intentions. You know, we're all fired up. We're gonna be good citizens. We're gonna participate, and then 6 months later, we're like, screw it, just screw it. put the glass in the paper bin. Screw it.
And then you get a letter in the mail saying, "We took pictures of your garbage can." that just came out of my mouth, a weird mix of German Japanese. That's was unintentional, but that's what we took pictures of your trash can.
It's funny. You know, when I first moved here, I still spoke Japan, still said yes when I was out in public. You know, so you buy something, you say yes. Hi.
Oh, okay.
So you caught myself, and had a funny moment one time at the shopping mall. My oldest son was acting up, being really like controlling, and I wanted to say, "What are you, the cookie Nazi or something?"
Oh boy, yeah.
And I I realized, where are you? That's probably not the best thing to say out in public.
Yeah, I like the mental image of that. He's like, "I want cookie. Give me cookie. I want cookie." What are you, the cookie Nazi? All of the squeaking shopping carts just stop. Everybody looks at you like just shaking their head. Not cool, bro. When are you going to let it go? Cool. When are you going to let it go? That's awesome. That's incredible. Well, I feel like you've obviously answered all of my questions about, you know, the lifestyle or anything. But what I want to make sure is that I don't step on anything, because you would know better than I, being somebody who obviously grew up here and now is abroad. So I put it out there again. Is there anything else that I might be cutting you off on or that you wanted to share with the listeners?
No. Well, I heard, you know, your friend from England call in, and I thought, wow, you know, it might be a unique perspective to call in from overseas with kids as well, and also with the aspect of being in the military, which is a very unique lifestyle. I think only 1% of the American public is a member of the military, and it is a very unique lifestyle for you know, people without children, people with children. So I just wanted to share, you know, a few stories.
No, I'm glad you did, because it is a thing that, as a comic, you often get told, you know, because usually family members or military family members, or I get messages from people that have heard me on Sirius satellite radio that are in the military, like, "Oh, you should come out to the base, or you should come overseas to do stand-up."
You should.
And it's weird, though, for me, because for two reasons. Number one is that I go out, I do a lot of my act is complaining about my family life, making fun of it and you know, exaggerating it. And I almost feel like I'm being a jerk by complaining about, "Oh, these kids are such a pain in the ass." And yet there's guys in the middle of the desert that would love nothing more than to hug their daughter, you know, when they get up, when they come home. And so while I know that they can relate and agree with what I'm talking about, it is a weird thing that. And it's also something that when I get on the road and I miss my kids, that, you know, I'm like, "You've been gone for like 4 days." There are people that get stationed on a base and their families are back home in the States, that it'll be months before there are children that are born that guys don't get to see until they're 2 months old sometimes, you know, and things like that. I think it is an interesting thing, and it might even be a small dose of perspective for those of us that are here, quote unquote, stateside. I like that I keep using the lingo. Like I'm in with the crowd.
I feel right at home. I feel like you're with me. You're using the word stateside and overseas and commissary, and
yeah,
it's great.
I know. I'm in with the in crowd. I know what's up. Well, here's what I had planned, but I don't want to step on anything that you wanted to talk about. I had planned to do. I have a poop story of the week. I'm sure that you may have one or two that you would want to share. This one comes to a listener, Paul. Would I be stepping on anything that you wanted to talk about if I did this poop story? And then if you have any to share, you could throw those in there as we get close to wrapping up.
No, go ahead.
All right,
good. Sounds good.
So let me queue up. This is my favorite new thing to do, where I like to play some classical music while I read a poop story. And so this one comes to us from Paul. And what I like about the poop story is that this is something that is unique to parenting, as you will find from the tone of this fantastic gem of a story, is that no matter how vulgar or disgusting it gets, parents can always hang. So enjoy this one from Paul. Let's see if I've got the right knob here. I want to make sure that I'm playing the music. Oh, wait, maybe I don't have... Oh, it is. There we go. All right. Justin, loving the show and the new regular guests. I have a poop story with our three-month-old boy. So he was not pooping for about 5 days and was miserable. But one night, half asleep, when I was changing him before he was going to feed on Mom, I heard a rumble. Of course, being so sleepy, I didn't think about it, but was just lifting his leg up to put the new diaper on, and he had a nice fart. And then... like a faucet turned on, poop started flowing like a river. This really woke me up. I tell my sleeping wife that I may need a hand. And then another fart, and the flow started again, splattering it downwind. 5 days of poop coming out in about 10 seconds, and nothing to contain it as it was about to swallow my son. It was so much poop. Then he started to kick his legs as he felt so much better, which we had to grab them to stop them from splashing down in the pool of poo. It was incredible, and luckily I didn't have to mop around the bar stool, as I referred to wiping around his scrotum and penis, which I will also add to the opinion of others. It was easier to wipe my daughter. So thank you, Paul, for your fantastic poop story of the week. I feel like, unfortunately, my kid, now that he's two and in diapers, poop stories that go nuts usually seem to wrap up around the toddler phase or whatever. But I don't know. Does that inspire any that you can remember in your four adventures into infant poopage?
I have personally, with my entire litter, I have not been... horrifically sprayed with the poopage, I guess.
One of the benefits of working long hours, I imagine.
Yes. I've heard stories of the mother-in-law having projectile headed her way. I just remember what a pain in the rear the whole scrotum wiping deal is. What a pain in the rear.
I talk about it in my act where I say that it's got nooks and crannies, and so it grabs things.
It's horrible.
Yeah, try cleaning egg out of a sponge, and it is a little bit easier than that, is the way I would imagine. Because the thing with a sponge is that you could dig in there with your fingernail, but especially if you're a father, you know you can't just dig in there and start pinching things and grabbing things. That's hurtful. I don't know if Natalie, I talk about this in my act too. Natalie had a weird irreverence. That's not the right word. A lack of concern for his nether regions when she would clean him. Like she would just smash it, like just with a wipe, and it would hurt me. I go, hey, easy. Why don't you calm down with that stuff, man?
Ouch.
Was Carrie the same way, or did she understand the sensitivity of the area?
I think she understood the sensitivity.
Oh, good.
The area. Yeah.
Lucky for your son.
Yeah. Our daughter, Ashley, she just recently started to eat jar baby food.
Yes.
And let me tell you, the poop overnight changes overnight.
Yes.
It is almost human-like. Yep. Almost.
But not quite. And that's also when they love to drop the odor in there. Unless you do formula. Both of my kids were breastfed, so it's kind of not really funky. Like, you could tell it's still poop, but it's not – I mean, it's not delightful by any means. I wouldn't want to eat breakfast with it. But I'm saying that when you add in that real food, that's when it's like, oh, here comes the thunder, you know?
Yes. Whole different ballgame.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, though, when you said the mother-in-law almost got hit with a projectile, was that a projectile poop, or was that a vomit situation?
It was like the Play-Doh little play set when you push down or squeeze on the lever.
Yeah.
you're going to get something on the return end.
Yeah.
And she pushed her little legs all the way up.
You know, almost making it a trebuchet, a poop trebuchet. Yes. She's increased the PSI by thrusting those knees upwards.
Yes, exactly.
And also increased the angle of aim up by 45 degrees. You would think a mother-in-law would have been, although maybe she did know what was coming and she saw it because she obviously dodged out of the way, by the way it sounds.
Oh, yes, she dodged it very quickly. I was very surprised how the older woman her age could move that quickly.
Yeah, you're such a brave man, Greg.
I had to choose my words very carefully.
Yeah, I still think you might have a little bit of a hole. You might want to start drafting the Christmas card for the in-laws early.
Two weeks.
Oh, man, I wish my mother-in-law would have been hit with a projectile poop. I definitely would have liked that. I would like it to be like a nugget. I wouldn't want it to be a spray. I would like it to that to me seems over the that's almost macabre in nature. I would like a little nugget to be shot out like a ping pong ball and just kind of graze her right cheek or something, and just leave a little like a football player smudging a shoe polish under his eyes or whatever. I just like a little line, and just to see her wrestle with that just happened. I would derive great pleasure from that. Do you have any other poop stories? Because if not, then we can start to wrap up with moments of the week, my friend.
No, I think at one point, you know, when you have four or five kids, all the moments start to run together. Yeah. I think at one point I actually might have picked up a poo from the carpet thinking that it was something else, because it was a hectic moment. Yeah. And I just picked something up and I looked down and I'm holding in my hand a piece of poo. And
yep.
That was, I don't even remember what kid that was, but that was my small moment.
Yep. Now here's what I'm curious about. As a father of many children, do you look down and go, "Oh, this is poop," and then you just walk over to the trash and then wash your hands, or do you go, "Oh man," like, is there? I feel like when you have kids, that it just becomes like whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much nothing phases me now. You're pretty much over by the fourth kid.
Yeah.
You can pretty much just be covered in it and just be like, "Oh geez, it's no big deal."
Yeah, another day in paradise. Another living the dream. Living the dream. They're a blessing. I don't know if people have told you, Greg, but they're a blessing.
Blessing. Blessing. Four kids are a blessing. They are.
I have a famous story that's what your one reminded me of. When my first son was born, there was something on my couch that I reached down thinking it was like a crumpled M&M, and being the monkey brain man that I am, I just stuck it in my mouth without even thinking, and then quickly realized it was not an M&M. And the only thing that was the saving grace was that I go, "No one saw what I just did." And then immediately my father said, "Wasn't chocolate, was it?" And I went, "Nope." He goes, "Yeah, you'll learn to not put things in your mouth anymore."
Are you still able to eat like chocolate chip?
Oh, yeah. The thing. That's how I knew I'd crossed over, is that even then I'm like, it just, for anybody who hasn't had this horrible mishap, it's just like a waxy, not good tasting thing. Like, that's just what you feel like. And you just kind of go, well, and it was a very, very small amount. That was the part that was the most silly about it. That's like, how bad do I want chocolate? But it was really, maybe I'm the stupidest man alive, but I really feel like it is kind of a monkey-brained man thing to do, where, like that weird urge that you have to smell your fingers when they've been in places that they shouldn't, if you know what I mean? Like, it's a thing, like, why did I just do that? I'm supposed to be a civilized person, you know what I mean? And so that was one of those moments that I learned the lesson, like my father said, that you'll learn to not put things in your mouth anymore. And so I have learned that lesson. And now I'm constantly teaching it to my children. saying, "Don't put that in your mouth. Stop that. No, that's yucky, blah, blah, blah." But yeah, so that was my little poop story. So please send your poop stories in. You can email them in or throw them up on the Facebook page. But we will wrap up what has been an awesome episode, in my opinion, with Greg. We'll do a little moments of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thetadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
My moments of the week, it's interesting because I just recorded another episode yesterday, so I may have to kind of search for a moment. It kind of happened today where, and it's I may be talking about these a lot. Now, both of my kids are in the preschool, and I'm having a lot of moments where I guess where I see them growing up. Like, I see them. It's just when you feel like, oh, now they're people, then there's a new stage of development that another thing happens. And it's interesting to watch my older son really blossom and grow up. He's right. Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. He's got a bike. We bought him a bike for his fifth birthday. And he's still on training wheels, but it's a bigger bike. And he can ride it really well, and he likes to go out on bike rides. So I bought Natalie a bike also for her birthday, which is her birthday is on August 30th. Jacob's is September 2nd. And so we each have our adult bikes that have the little kid car seat on the back. And we went on a bike ride. There's like a concrete bike trail near our house. And so we went on a full bike ride for 45 minutes, and it was so relaxing, and the kids loved it and had a good time. And my wife enjoyed it far more than I ever would have imagined. It was like I'd taken her to Hawaii. She was just like, oh, this is so nice. It was lovely outside and all that stuff. So it was one of those things where you feel like you only see, as I said in a recent episode, unfairly, in a Cialis commercial. I don't understand why I associate the happy tone of these moments with my children with an ED drug. But that's what came, the unnecessary happy tone where I feel like it was a Hallmark card or one of those situations where we're all, and the kids have the helmets on, and it's just everything is freaking adorable. And so that was mine. Now you could go with yours. When you have a litter, I don't necessarily expect you to have one per child, but if you do, please feel free to do so.
I do have a moment of the week. Actually, it happened last week, but it was so good I thought I'd carry it over to this week.
Please do.
We had rented the G.I. Joe movie that came out a few years ago. Mm-hmm. From the rental store, and we took that home after work, and we're watching it as a family movie night, you know, kind of a rare opportunity. We let the kids stay up late, you know, we don't normally do that. Mm-hmm. So we're all sitting around the TV watching the movie, and me being having to work that day, I was very tired. As I get older, I tend to poop out around 8:00, 8:30, I'm done. Mm-hmm. So we're all sitting around watching TV, and I start to slowly lean over and doze off on my 5-year-old Andrew. And before we had the movie night, we had cake and ice cream and popcorn and soda and just all mixture of things healthy for you. And I guess my stomach couldn't handle it. And as I was dozing off on him, I threw up a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
Out of my nose onto my little 5-year-old's shirt.
Yeah. And here's a little quid pro quo, my friend.
And it was so funny. He handled it so funny. I got up. I quickly got up and went to the kitchen. And as I'm cleaning up myself, I hear little 5-year-old Andrew in the other room saying, Mommy, I think Daddy dripped snot on my shirt, but I want to see what it is. Can you turn the light on?
Oh, no.
And he turns the light on, and he sees what happened. And then I hear him say to his brother and sister, he announces, "Hey, guys, do not let Daddy fall asleep on you because he will drip snot on you." I'm glad that he thought it was snot and not throw up.
I like too that his, hey guys, family meeting, gather around, everybody take a knee. Here's the thing. Dad may or may not want to pass out on you. Do not let it happen. because I just took a bullet for all you guys. Now we know, guys. Lesson learned, everybody. All right, as you were, let's get back to G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra.
Yeah, and after I came back and sit down, and we didn't skip a beat. It was not discussed. Continued on as if it didn't happen.
And you didn't have a nod out moment where he's like, hey, stay with us.
Oh, man, it was funny. It was pretty funny.
Oh, that's incredible. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, that has been our show. I'm not stepping on any other moments of the week, am I, if I move on?
No, that was it.
That's a pretty solid one. Let's be honest. That is filled with adorableness. guys, just saying. Well, that was our show. Please send any emails if you have a poop story or anything that you want to share, your own little story of where you have vomited on your kids. Please send those in to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget, you can send questions to our pediatrician, Dr. Dre, and also our love and family therapist. I call her a sex and family therapist, but she is at The Love Intern on Twitter, Rachel Gibb. You could send those into questions@thedadpodcast.com. Please don't wait for an upcoming episode. If something pops into your head, please send it immediately, because I like to have some of those stockpiled up for when I get a chance to record with them. You can join the conversation and talk to me and other listeners on Facebook at facebook.com/dadpodcast, or you could follow the show on Twitter at dadpodcast. And I think that is it. That is all. Oh, the big thing. Go to thedadpodcast.com and please become a paid subscriber. There's a $24 a year option or a $2 a month option. Both of those mathematically cost the same. If you cannot do math quickly, I just did it for you. But if everybody listening to the show did the $2 paid subscription a month, then that would change my life. What you get when you become a paid subscriber is you get all of my comedy albums free as a digital download. You also get our wonderful sex coaster that I talked about for you. It's just a paper one. Once I get enough money, if we get enough paid subscribers too, then I can afford to actually buy a coaster and ship it to you. But it is something you could stick on a coaster that you can give you and your lady friend can use to give a heads up. Say, hey, green for go for launch, red for not this time, my friend. And as Joseph Bears pointed out, is that the guys, you could just make it green on both sides. And maybe the moms can make it red on both sides and then completely nullify the whole situation. But all that is available if you become a paid subscriber. Please do so by going to thedadpodcast.com. On behalf of my friend, Greg Betancourt, by the way, thank you very much for serving. Even though it is from a chair, I still appreciate it nonetheless for what you do. This is Justin Worship saying, stay frosty.